All right, welcome into the Game Blitz Show, 102.5, 106.3. The Game, brought to you by Apple Collegiate International, Playmakers Academy. My goodness, we've got some action happening tonight that's going crazy. Round two of the high school football season, a lot of games going final. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny. Elijah Campbell down the line. You know what time it is, top of the hour. Scoreboard update, hit it, Kenny. All right, here we go. These games are all final. Beach over Smyrna, 24-21. Brentwood Academy over Pope John Paul, 38-0. Cane Ridge over Clarksville, 42-6. Blackman comes back and beats Coffee County, 35-31. East Robertson over Bledsoe, 38-14. McCauley beats Innsworth, 38-28. Fayetteville over Dresden, 42-17. In overtime, Friendship Christian beats DCA, 14-13. Let's see here. Lewis County over Adamsville, 35-7. Lipscomb Academy beats Silverdale, 77-7. NBA over Christian Brothers, 33-14. Page beats Mount Juliet, 42-39. Riverside over Mount Pleasant, 12-7. Nashville Christian beats Trinity Christian, 42-7. Nolensville beats White County, 56-36. Oakland over Lebanon, 41-7. Pearl Cone over Hardin County, 54-27. Smith County over Fairview, 28-0. Stowe Memorial over Red Bank, 21-6. East Nashville beats Waverly, 40-34. York over South Green, 27-0. Bartlett over Brentwood, 28-7. Henry County over Portland, 42-7. Jackson Christian over Middle Tennessee Christian, 27-25. CPA 21, Lausanne 13. Big win for CPA. Marshall County falls to Lexington, 21-14. Springfield over Munford, 38-13. Chattanooga Christian, 36, FRA 21. East Hamilton, 43, Upperman, 42. Knox Webb, 42, Davidson Academy, 24. Gordonsville, 14, South Pitt, 7. And Tyner over Westmoreland, 42-17. That is your Game Blitz update. Elijah, I just saw your text. I apologize for that. You get it the rest of the show, my man.
Yes. I realize I sent you the text as we're coming back from the break, like the millisecond. I was like, well, this is the worst time for me to send this.
But that's it. A few things that stand out to me tonight. We'll go down the line. Of course, a lot of the games. Smith County had in their way with Fairview 28-6. I'm sorry, I said 28-0. Yeah. It's 28-6 there. Kind of shocking there. East Nashville, the big win on the road down in Waverly, knocked them off. And I guess Page knocking off Mount Juliet 42-39 in that game there. So a lot of big things. You go into round two of the high school football, anything can happen. And Elijah, anything happened tonight, but those games kind of stand out to me.
Yeah. I mean, there it's funny when you ask the question, some of your biggest takeaways, it's like, oh my God, where do I begin? Like there's so many things that kind of shocked me tonight, you know? And one of the ones that we haven't got to talk about a ton, just because it was, you know, on the east side of the state, but Gordonsville in 1A picked up a shocker. They dethroned the defending 1A state champions in South Pittsburgh tonight, went on the road, won 14-7. Now, that is no easy feat because this that South Pittsburgh team, obviously, I stated the obvious, they're the defending state champs. Their only losses this year were when they were playing teams that were significantly higher than them in classification. So for them to be able to make that trip and to dethrone a champ like South Pittsburgh is incredibly remarkable. Now that sets up a collision course game with Clay County. That is going to be a very fun matchup between them. I think when they played, the Clay County won to give them the region, and the score was 27-20. So for my fellow 1A enthusiast, small town football, you have a Gordonsville Clay County matchup next week that is going to be epic. And I think either of those teams can win state in 1A. If Gordonsville knocked out South Pittsburgh, that's one of the biggest obstacles in 1A. That was a big shocker for me tonight. That's one that might not get talked about as much, but man, that is an incredible, incredible performance by that Gordonsville team.
I totally agree with that. Also set up here closer to town, Beach and Cane Ridge next week. And I guess, you know, we're not saying we predicted that weeks ago, but we predicted that weeks ago just because at the high level of play, both them doing Beach wins over Smyrna, 24-21. Cane Ridge takes out Clarksville, 42-6. That game will be at Cane Ridge next Friday night. And you got the Beach Buccaneers who have to push you down the field against that Cane Ridge team who went vertical tonight, Elijah, and got the big win. Mm-hmm. That's an epic matchup. I mean, the winner goes to the semifinals. I mean, what more do you want?
Yeah, I mean, that's love that kind of matchup. There's so many, like, I guess, other rematches or other rematches of the week too. That's going to cause for some great matchups. But Cane Ridge and Beach is one of those. You have the contrast in styles, and you have one of those epic, you know, strength on strength. Like, Beach is a fantastic defense. I am so excited to see exactly how Cane Ridge is able to combat that and try to figure out ways. Coach Eddie Woods is one of the best in the state at being able to figure out ways to score on any kind of defense. And that one is going to be, I think, to me, that's the front runner for the game of the week. If we decide to pick that over some of the rematches we have, because we have some epic rematches going into next week as well, with, you know, Springfield and Henry County, and then Nolensville and Page too. And then Smith County and East Nashville. So you have the rematches, and then you have like the dream matchup between Cane Ridge and Beach. That's going to be an incredibly, incredibly fun, evenly matched game.
Our man Junior Riddle's already texted in and says, "Hey, I want the Nolensville Page game, and I want it bad." Well, you've got it, man. And there you go.
Yep.
Match from a few weeks ago in 5A. You know, that's what we talked about. This is like, you know, you play the regular season, and you do good, and then you got to come back and beat the teams again. Like, Oakland's got to go back and beat Blackman and all those teams that way. Mm-hmm. And then Nolan's got to do the same thing there. But that's going to be a heck of a game again. It's just a rematch of the game they played just a few weeks ago. Crazy game, and we got it again.
I love it. And this is where the abilities of the best coaches in the state really come out. Like, the perfect example is tonight with how DCA pushed Friendship Christian. Friendship Christian has been a buzzsaw. They're in the Platinum Elijah Game undefeated club, breezing through the regular season. The closest game they had was the 28-14 finale of the regular season against MTCS. Two touchdowns, closest game they've played all year. They demolished DCA in the regular season. It was either 43-6 or 43-8. It wasn't close, and the score does not indicate 100% how much of a blowout that game was. DCA had a game plan. I don't know what it was, because obviously we weren't able to see the game, but they pushed it to overtime, tied at 7. No one's been able to stop Friendship Christian all year long, but Coach Paul Wade, one of the best coaches in the state, has won multiple state championships with multiple schools, found a way to make this competitive and push it to overtime, despite his team not being in the same stratosphere
right, as
Friendship Christian was just a few months ago.
I totally agree with that. Let's go to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, and bringing the coach we're just talking about a few moments ago, Coach Eddie Woods down at Cane Ridge, who joins us tonight. Coach Woods, congratulations on the win.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time to do this. But your team gets it done tonight. Talk about the preparation of this team that you have, Coach, because it seems like every week they're focused, they put the good game together, and they win. And that was a good Clarksville team you beat tonight, Coach.
Yes, it was. You know, just resetting the culture, getting back to how we used to doing things at Cane Ridge. You know, being disciplined, being focused, and make sure we're being physical in every which way. And this started last November. We got put out the first round. We were pissed off, and we knew we had to get this thing going. And that's what we did. And we're just excited about the opportunity to be able to advance again and play Beach. And we're going to play another physical team, but we're looking forward to it.
So Clarksville knocked you guys out last year in the first round?
Yes, sir.
Oh, whoa. Did we talk about this at practice this week, or was it already known that this is a little revenge for our team?
Yeah, I didn't have to talk about that one. The guys are getting more and more excited about, you know, playing the playoff football. You know, I feel like, you know, starting last year, we wanted to make sure we put ourselves in a position to be built to stop the run and run the football and play those complete games. And we're excited about, you know, every week we're getting better and better at that. And hopefully we can continue going next week.
Talking to Coach Woods from Cane Ridge, his team with a blowout win against Clarksville tonight. And what you just heard was a revenge game, avenging a season-ending loss from last year. But, Coach, talking about this season, obviously only gave up 6 points to Clarksville tonight. Those are the first points your team has surrendered since October 7th, if I'm correct there. Your defense has been dominant. What exactly allows your defense to be this dominant at this level?
That's a mindset. You know, we wanted to make sure going to this offseason we were going to be physical. We wanted to be sound. We wanted to make sure we lined up right now, those things that come within everything in between. But we wanted to be physical. We wanted to be physical. And that's what we've been growing to be all season long. and the guys are really responding to it. And that's our identity. We want to be physical, rushing the ball and also stopping the run. And, you know, we can make plays over top and things like that, but if we can't do those two things, it's not going to last long in the playoffs. We're just excited, back excited to be back there doing those things as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And one of the key members of that defense and the offense as well, Jalen Johnson, one of my favorite players to keep up with, had the highlight reel catch the first week of the season and has been obviously a big part of your team moving forward. But what does an athlete like that do in terms of just changing the game week in and week out?
It starts in practice, you know, starts in the offseason. I don't ever remember that kid missing a workout. I don't ever remember that kid missing a practice, being late. He's always in the front of conditioning. You know, that's the type of mindset that he brings. And it kind of rubs off on the rest of the defense. So that guy's been doing it all year. I think he had about 2 sacks a day, you know, when they had to get into some throwing situations. But he's being very dominant.
Coach, you got to take on Beach next week. What do you know about Beach? I know you haven't looked a lot of film about him, but what have you heard about him, and what kind of do you know so far about this great football team?
Well, I know about Coach Crabtree. We were in the same region about 5 years ago, and we played him about three or four times, if I'm not mistaken, in that time frame. But Coach Crabtree is Coach Crabtree. He's a hell of a coach. He preaches physical. The teams are always physical, play good defense, rush the ball well. So we're looking forward to that challenge, but we know we got our hands full when those guys come over here next week.
It'll be beautiful. Coach Woods, thank you for your time. I know you're busy. Coach, we always appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Coach Eddie Woods down at Cane Ridge, and a big win tonight for them. All right, we're kind of late to the break. We'll get to the break. We'll start efforting more coaches. What another great, fantastic night of high school football. Round two, a lot of tears being shed tonight, but a lot of smiles as teams move on to the quarterfinals in high school football in the state of Tennessee. You listen to The Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, I was waiting for the guy to start singing. Welcome back to the Game Blitz Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. What a great night of high school football. Let's go right to the phone lines. Brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, bringing the head coach of Henry County Patriots, Coach James Counts. They beat Portland tonight, moving on to the quarterfinals. Coach, congratulations on the win tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You just played this team a few weeks ago. I mean, you win tonight handily over team, but what's the difficulty of playing a team you just beat a few weeks ago, then you got to turn around and play them again in the playoffs?
Well, you know, there's some things that come with that. You know, the guys, if you allow them to and kind of look at what's happened the week that you played them earlier, you know, you just got to try to some way figure out how to let them understand that you know, anything can happen this time of the year. You don't go back and look at what the score was or how the outcome was the previous week, but, you know, just trying to stay focused and, you know, try to win the game and do the things and prepare that week to hopefully get the move ahead.
What's it like, and this is sort of not really a football question, but a community question. What's it like, you know, I've been to that stadium, Coach. I spoke to your team a few years ago. It's just fantastic up there. What's it like on a Friday night for you as a head coach of a team in a town that loves your football team so much?
Well, you know, I grew up here too, so you know, I went to elementary school right over here, right beside where the stadium is. And you know, it's very special. You know, I talked to our kids about this the other day. You know, we've been fortunate, went to the semifinals the last 2 years. We went to the quarterfinals. You know, these guys don't understand that these weeks and how special they are. I just want them to know that, look, you know, this not for – you can't take this for granted. You know, our community, they support us. You know, on Fridays when we play at home, you know, people stop, you know, get off work at lunch and get out here and start getting their tents set up to tailgate. And, you know, it's just, you know, it, And for these kids, you know, that's the main thing. But it's a special place. You know, we got one high school here, and, you know, everybody's all in.
Talking to Coach James Counts, the head coach of the Henry County Patriots. His team got a big 42-7 win over Portland. So they advanced to the state quarters to take on a familiar foe in Springfield. That game was one of the best that we got to keep up with all season long. And Coach, obviously, you know, you celebrate the win tonight, but what's that preparation process going to be like to be playing against a team that you're so familiar with and that you're very evenly matched with?
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of similarities. You know, Springfield is a very physical football team. You know, they've got a lot of weapons. They got a great quarterback, obviously. You know, early in the year we played them. You still have the rest of the season to kind of go through. You know, I feel like that they're going to come in here and you know, he's going to be the guy. You know, they're going to ride Crenshaw and you know, that's going to have to be our focus and our task from defensively standpoint, just to, you know, to try to, you know, we're going to have to stop him. And they're a good football team, well coached. Obviously, they went to Mumford tonight, long travel, you know, playing a team that's undefeated, that felt pretty good about themselves. And to go in that environment and be able to pull a win out, you know, that speaks volumes about their program and the way that Coach Wilson handles handles the team and their preparation. And, you know, we got our hands full.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, Coach, one of my favorite aspects of your team is that you guys have a lot of experienced players at key positions. And when you get to this point in the year, obviously the preparation has to be taken to another level because the competition's being raised to another level. But how comfortable are you with your team being this experienced and a team that's already gone through a couple of really good playoff runs?
Well, that means a lot. You know, we've got what we feel like is a pretty heavily stacked non-region schedule. You know, and the reason for that is to hopefully that it would develop us as we go through the season for these kind of moments, you know, and I think that our guys understand the situation. You know, our guys that you're talking about, you know, Ryan Dameron, he started for us as a quarterback as a freshman. He got a ton of snaps, you know, a very composed young man. You know, we've got, you know, our big offensive lineman, which, you know, he's gotten them other guys to play well too. And you know, so we're going to ride those guys, obviously, but, you know, Tyson Hornbuckle, outside linebacker that we've got, you know, Hudson Ciparillo, big tight end that we've got, Caden Marshall, played a little tailback tonight, that outside linebacker kid that's a junior. So, you know, we've got some guys that are playing pretty good right now, and just got to continue to do that. We've been sick too. I don't know, you know, what other schools are going through. The ones I've talked to, they've got a little bit of that too. But I sent a kid home before the game. I sent another one home at halftime. And we had probably six other kids that were playing that were sick. So, you know, we got, that's the one thing that we got to do this week is, you know, try to get everybody healthy and where they can play full speed.
My goodness, Coach, sorry about that, but congratulations on the win. Hope your guys get well. Hope they get better. Congratulations, and that's why we love high school football. What's going to happen next week over in Henry County in Paris, Tennessee? Coach, thank you as always. We appreciate your time, Coach.
Absolutely. You guys coming next week?
We might if we get the helicopter fixed, we're coming.
y'all to come on. It's going to be a good one.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
All right, well, that's Coach James Counts at Henry County. All right, let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises and bring the head coach of another team that we've jumped on the bandwagon, East Robertson High School, Coach Chase Brooks. Coach, congratulations on the win. The train keeps moving on. You got to be happy.
Absolutely. You know, we got a great group of seniors that just come to work every day, and, you know, they get after it and excited about the next game. So we got Tyner coming up. It's going to be a big matchup, and We hope to pack the stands here coming.
You went tonight 38-14. That's a very good Bledsoe County team that you guys beat tonight. What was kind of the message to your guys after the game for getting this big win in round two of the playoffs?
You know, just setting expectations. You know, we set our goals early, you know, checking those boxes off. Just another one. You know, it's the first time that, you know, East Robertson's made it to the third round of the playoffs. And so our guys are excited about that and the opportunity to play Tyner here at home.
Talking to Coach Chase Brooks from East Robertson, his team with a big win against Bledsoe County. And Coach, one of my favorite things about your team is obviously the role you guys are on right now. You dropped the first game of the season and then have just done nothing but reel off wins. What's the feeling like in the room and in the locker room with your group of players who have seemingly just made winning a habit?
It's amazing. You know, these kids caught on to, you know, the culture that we're trying to change here at East, and, you know, they bought in, and once they bought in after, you know, week two, week three, you know, we just kind of got it rolling. You know, they really truly believe in what we're doing. Our offense coordinator, Coach Alexander, you know, does an amazing job of calling plays and getting the ball into the hands of our playmakers. Coach Fott, our defense coordinator, you know, he's done an excellent job of, you know, coming up with schemes to, you know, stop these wing T teams that we continue to play week in, week out. So we just got a good mix of, you know, coaches and kids right now, and it's a really special place to be.
I love how you mentioned stopping the opposing offenses in the wing T, which is obviously prevalent at the 2A level. What are some of, I guess, the hardest things about the wing T offense to have to stop? Because a lot of schools run them, but not all of them run them to the kind of the same proficiency.
Right. You know, if that's something you buy into, do, you know, and that's what you do, it's, you know, it's the eye candy they give you and trying to get you to follow the backs and the motions and things like that. And so you really got to be on your guys to be disciplined and take care of your reads and your gap. And so just playing some of all these wing T teams, you know, we look forward to playing somebody different that's not a wing T team, you know, just to mix it up.
Oh, we're talking to Coach Chase Brooks at East Robertson. You know, Coach, I'm looking at the bracket right now. You know, I know you guys went 9-1. I see your team in the quarterfinals. I mean, did you expect to be here? I mean, you take over a program in late March, early April. You miss months of winter workouts. I mean, when you look at it now, did you think you'd be here, or did you just always believe that from day one that we're going to get this team to this point?
Yeah, we set expectations and goals for this team when we first got here. You know, we told them, you know, we saw the film of these guys playing last year. We know they played hard, and we knew we had some athletes here, and we just couldn't figure out why they could never get over the hump, you know, never made it past the second round. And so we just challenged these guys, you know, and just see these guys continue to grow, these players, these seniors lead the team. And, you know, it's just exciting for us, you know, to see, you know, everything kind of unveil and, you know, happen, you know, like it's been happening. These guys, you know, doing everything they can to make sure that we're winning the next game. And we talk about our goal each and every week now is just to practice on Monday. You know, it's all we want to do is practice on Monday. And so they bought into that mentality, and, you know, it's kind of paying off for us right now.
All right, so here's your chance. What do you need next Friday night from the community?
We got to pack the stands. We need everybody out, you know, anybody in Sumner County, Robertson County, you know, Clarksville, anybody in these surrounding areas that want to see a great football game with great talent. Both teams got Division I kids. You know, a lot of FCS kids all over the field. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun to watch. Two great offenses and some good defense. So come out and check us out and come see what we're all about.
We will do it, Coach. I hope we talk to you next Friday night, because we're loving this ride with you, what you guys are going through, Coach. Thank you for your time, as always.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
All right, Chase Brooks, head football coach East Robertson. What a great story. All right, we are to the break now. We'll take a break at the top and bottom hour. We get all the scores. Elijah Campbell's going to bring you the scores after the break. We're having a fun hour here till midnight.
Uh-oh.
Till midnight tonight. We got more coaches we'll talk to. It's been another great night of high school football here in the entire state of Tennessee, especially in Middle Tennessee. All right, we'll take a break. Come back to the other side. This is The Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. What a great night of high school football that we've been talking about and watching and everything that's going on tonight. It's an amazing thing. Big Joe here alongside Big Kenny, Elijah Campbell down the line. As we do at the top and the bottom of the hour, scoreboard update. Elijah Campbell, my man, it is all yours.
Yes, sir. As always, our scoreboard update brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, a lovely non-tankable company. We'll start off with Beach. Fending off Smyrna's upset bid, they win 24-21. Blackman takes down Coffee County in a back-and-forth affair, 35-31. Brentwood Academy takes advantage of Pope John Paul and the injury bug. They win 38-7. Cane Ridge blows out Clarksville, 42-6. Clay County blows out Whitwell, 46-6. East Nashville, offense, it's revived. They beat Waverly, 40-34. East Robertson blew out Bledsoe County in the second half. They won 38-14. Fayetteville, they're still undefeated. They take down Dresden, 42-17. DCA almost pulls off the shocker. They lose to Friendship Christian, 14-13 in overtime. Giles County shuts out Loudon, 21-0. Lewis County ends Adamsville season, 35-7. Lipscomb Academy, a lot. Silverdale, not a lot. NBA beats Christian Brothers, 33-14. Macaulay beat Ensworth, 38-28. Nashville Christian takes down Trinity Christian, 42-7. Nolensville pulls away late from White County. The slipper does not fit. They win 56-36. Oakland beats Lebanon, 41-7. Page in a thriller takes down Mount Juliet, 42-39, setting up an epic rematch between them and Nolensville. Pearl Cone beats Hardin County, 54-21. My page refreshed for no reason. Red Bank, they end Stone Memorial season 21-6. Riverside beat Mount Pleasant 18-13. Smith County shocks Fairview dominating fashion 28-6. York Institute makes it to the quarterfinals for only the third time in school history. They beat South Green 27-0. Chattanooga Central beat FRA 36-21. Sorry, Chase. East Hamilton beat Upperman 43-42. Ends the season for the Bees. Gordonsville takes down the defending 1A state champions 14-7 in South Pittsburgh. Monterey, with a shocker, they beat Hampton, the Region 1 2A champs, 40-16. Tyner beats Westmoreland 42-17. Bartlett beats Brentwood 28-7. RIP Williamson County Schools. CPA beats Lausanne 21-13. Henry County blows out Portland for the second time in 3 weeks, 42-7. They play Springfield in the second round, because Springfield ends Munford's perfect season by a score of 38-13. McKenzie beats Moore County 56-21. Lexington ends Marshall County season 21-14. And Jackson Christian, at the very end of the game, beats MTCS 27-25.
And that is your Game Blitz update.
That's curious. Right. Yeah.
Well done, Elijah.
Yes. And for those,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, for those who are curious about the Lipscomb Academy Silverdale score, it was 77-13. A score is not safe for work, so I had to shield it from the years of our youth.
Oh, my goodness. All right, thanks for that. Let's go back to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, and it's on repeat every week. It's the head coach at Blackman, Coach Chandler Thygard, as his team wins it over Coffee County, 35-31. Coach, congratulations on the win, and this is a reason I'm not a football coach, because we were following this game tonight, and back and forth, back and forth. You get the win, but my goodness, the nerves, the excitement, all that in this game tonight. It's everything high school football is about, isn't it?
Yeah, talk about a stressful game. So, you know, it was a hard-fought win, but glad we got it done. It was ugly. We tried to give it to them as many times as humanly possible. But, you know, luckily we got it done in the end, and we're happy just to keep playing and moving on.
You know, it's a great night for coaches when you call in and you sound just like Miley Cyrus. So congratulations on that, and hope your voice sticks around. What was it like tonight? Tell me about Coffee County, because, you know, you talked last week to us about this, how it, you know, it's going into that environment down there, and, you know, they're confident in everything. What was it like tonight, and how did you guys get the job done?
Well, it started out exactly the worst way it could happen. So, you know, we get the ball and go three and out. We end up having a bunch of turnovers. They got a big lead to start. You know, the field conditions were just really bad. And, you know, we couldn't throw the ball very well tonight. We started having to run in a new ball every single play. You know, it was really wet and muddy. And, you know, so we had to adjust some things. And, you know, in the second half, that's, you know, one of the few times this season we've been down
One of the few times this season we didn't score on the first drive of the game. So there was plenty of adversity, and then we had to change some things, and Ben Marshall and Justin Brown got back there in the Wildcat, and that kind of what that's what brought us back.
Talking to Coach Chandler Tygaard, my microphone works best when it's not on mute. Coach, you pulled out the big game, big win tonight against Coffee County, 35-31. What was it kind of like playing on the road with that environment? You talked about it last week after your first round win that preparing your team for that will be difficult. You haven't played a road game in a while, or a game that's not on a artificial turf. So there's a lot of newness there. But what was that atmosphere like, and how did your team provide or respond to that atmosphere?
Yeah, you're right. So it was our first road game in 7 weeks, and then it was our first game on grass, not on turf, in 9 weeks. And so, honestly, the guys, they looked a little nervous going into the game. You could tell it was a little different just because it's a hostile environment, no real visitor locker room. You're standing out in the elements, and, you know, their largest crowd they probably had there in forever, you know, the best team in school history on their end. So we knew it was going to be a challenge, and we were going to get tons of adversity. We didn't know we were going to get quite that much adversity, but, you know, we're just happy to get the win and, you know, keep on moving. And, you know, we still have some good statistics, I guess. You know, I'm looking at them now, but, you know, like 400 yards of offense still. But, you know, the biggest thing, though, is the points. So they credit, I mean, they had a little freshman come in and strip Ben Marshall and run it back for a touchdown, and then we had another screen pass went right through our hands. They intercepted on the 5-yard line and scored right after that. So we spotted them 14 points, and you know, we did our game, and just credit to our kids though to battle back, and credit to them to be to fight us that hard and that well.
Mm-hmm. And it makes for a fantastic high school football game. And but speaking of that, Coach, I expect another fantastic game next week. Obviously, you guys get to rematch Oakland. Obviously, Oakland's the buzzsaw, but this is the game that your team has been building up for all season long to get another crack at the Oakland Patriots. What's it going to be like preparing for them, and how difficult is it to have to face them a second time?
Well, they're tough. I mean, it's difficult when you got to play, you know, arguably the best team in the state in the quarterfinals, and you know it's always going to be that way. You know, we just know, you know, they're in our region, and we got to go through them the way that Tennessee sets up their playoffs. And so, no matter what, it's going to be a quarterfinal game. So we hit the part to where we thought Blackman should be, and so then now we just got to learn how to take the next step, and you know, got to believe that we can do it. And regardless of what team, you know, what the name on the team, the other team's jersey is, you got to believe, and you just got to go out there and play your style of game, and you know, see what we can mess around and get done.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Coach. As always, thank you for your time. Congratulations on the win. Keep it going, and what a season so far, Coach. Thanks for your time, as always.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Go Blaze.
All right, there we go, Coach Chandler Thygaard at Blackman. Let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises and bringing the head coach of Friendship Christian School down in Lebanon with what a great game tonight. Coach John McNeil, his team wins in overtime over DCA. Coach, how's that blood pressure right now?
I don't think I have any. you know, it's kind of like I told my wife and after the game, I was telling my coaches, I'm drained. You know, after a game like that, you kind of want to be, you know, like the student body and everything's jumping around and everything else, and I'm sitting here going, I'd have feel the same way. But after a game like that, just being drained of trying to, you know, figure out what you got to get done to, you know, try to get a play or make something happen for your team. And guys did a great job.
You got to be proud of you guys. How difficult was it? I mean, you played DC in the regular season long time ago. That bad weather, you beat him pretty well that night. How do you convince the guys, like, all right, that game means nothing from 7-8 weeks ago. Let's focus on the now. Was that a difficult challenge this week for you?
Well, I'll tell you this. If anybody knows the answer to that, then please call me, because I did preach it. But, I told him, I said, first of all, the regular season's over. It really makes no difference. The game we played against them, I promise you, will not be the game this time. DCA returned a lot of guys off of their state championship team last year. We did run the ball well week three when we played them. In fact, I think that we're the only team that ran the ball on them all year. I knew that would be different, and it was. They did a great job, and they kind of took care of our running game. We had some plays we did. Felt like we scored right at the half. We had the ball on the one with so many seconds left and ran a quarterback sneak. Felt like we made it, but you know what? Officials didn't call it, so going to halftime, not scoring, and then we come out in the fourth quarter, tied, and we run a touchdown for about 40-something yards, get a penalty called. So we did have some other opportunities to, you know, not let the game go into overtime.
What was it like? We were following along on social media. I mean, it's overtime. DCA's got a 4th and 13, and they convert to tie that. Well, make it 14-13, and you guys block the extra point and win the ball game right there. But what was your emotions like there? That 4th and 13, they convert, and then a switch of emotions again. They block the extra point there. That was a roller coaster in probably about 45 seconds, wasn't it?
Well, you know, yeah, of course, when they scored, but they still got to make the extra point, and we knew that coming up. After probably 5 minutes earlier, they tried a field goal and missed the snap, and I'm thinking, I hope that's still in their head. You know, kids are kids, and you start thinking, man, I hope I don't miss this like I did last time. And, you know, they just had a mistake on the snap, and but our guys did a great job coming through, and basically we blocked it right in our gut. I mean, it wasn't a layout. We came right up the middle, and the kid basically caught it in his gut.
Wow. Elijah?
Yeah, that's one way. That's a way to block a kick for sure. Coach John McNeil's with us right now, head coach of Friendship Christian. They survive an upset scare from DCA in overtime tonight. And coach, one of the most impressive elements of this win tonight for me, for your bunch, is that the closest game you guys played was a deficit of 14 points, and that was the last game of the regular season against MTCS. So there hasn't been a lot of situations in which you've had to kind of win a game like you did tonight. But what does it say about your kids that when faced with that kind of adversity, when you literally got DCA's best shot and best effort, they were still able to pull this game out?
Well, I do think that shows the character of our team, because I couldn't answer that before the game. And what does worry coaches that, you know, we're really never in a game in the fourth quarter, the, you know, regular season, you know, pretty much up 2 touchdowns in most of those. And you know, it's kind of one of those, you're like, oh, I don't know how we'll handle this. Not, you know, having a lead like that in the fourth quarter. So I guess we found out, you know, our kids stayed in there and hung in and you know, made it happen.
Mm-hmm. And coach, obviously it's not going to get any easier. So last one for me here, we'll go ahead and look ahead to next week. USJ took care of business against Lakeway Christian tonight, 48-6. You have to play them next week. What's that challenge present to you and your team as you guys head into the state semifinals?
Well, the first thing is we're practicing, and we're, you know, the opportunity is still there for us to play. As we tell them, you know, you're at the point now where everybody's, you know, win, play, lose, done. And so we at least have that opportunity. But USJ has a great program. They've over the years, they've played in, I don't know how many, but a lot of state championship games. So we know we're going to have our hands full. But the good thing is they have to come here, and that keeps us from traveling. So, you know, we're excited just to have a chance again to play and see if we can try to get one more win.
Fantastic. Coach John McNeil, Friendship Christian. Coach, we appreciate your time each week coming on our show. Best of luck, and let's make it to Chattanooga, okay?
I would love to. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Coach. We'll take another break. We got more coaches, more everything on the other side. What a fun night. What a great night of high school football here in Middle Tennessee, throughout the state of Tennessee, with round two of the high school football season. All right. We'll take another break. This is The Game Blitz, brought to you by Apple Collision Center, National Playmakers Academy, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Let's head south on I-65 down to Giles County. Let's bring in Wade Neely, the voice of Giles County tonight, as they win 21-0 in the second round of the playoffs. Wade, good evening. How are you, buddy?
Good evening, fellas, and I'm loving the Lupe Fiasco intro music. It's like I have my own personal DJ lined up right there.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Big Kenny researches you, man, before you come on and figures, says, all right, what's this man going to like, and finds out what you like, and then there you go. So you're welcome. All right, tell me about tonight, Giles County on a roll. What a great win for that team tonight, Wade.
Yes, sir. Terrific win for Giles County. Took on Loudoun, a very traditionally strong team out of East Tennessee. This was a rematch of a third-round game over in East Tennessee last year. That one was a nail-biter, and tonight was at times very, very thrilling. Looked like Loudoun might claw back into the game midway through the second quarter, but Giles County's defense is playing their best football of the season right now. They posted their second shutout in the last three games. They've only allowed 8 points in the last three games, and they turned back a very scrappy effort from Loudoun. Loudoun had to make a long drive, but they brought a good crowd. They had a well-coached team. But Giles County was able to pull out a hard-fought win tonight.
You know, we've talked on the show, Elijah and I have talked on the show all year long about, you know, we focus a lot on 6A and 5A football and the private schools, you know, rightfully so. But, you know, Wade, you see it every week. There's some amazing football, some solid football being played in 3A. The bottom of the bracket in 3A, we got Smith County, got East Nashville. But up where you are, Alcoa, Sweetwater, that Giles County takes on next week. Discuss for a second just the level of play, because you've seen 5A and 6A teams this year, just how good 3A football is.
No, no doubt. And you guys make a great point. And Giles County, actually, with the way their region was set up this year, they played a lot of 5A teams this year. They played Lincoln County, Columbia, Page, Nolensville. Had Nolensville beat right till the very end there. And honestly, it's kind of been fun and refreshing these 2 weeks in the playoffs, seeing some really good teams at the 3A level. Their region, Giles County's region, that is not maybe the strongest overall in terms of 3A football, but their sister region is loaded. And they took on Brainerd, who kind of had a little bit of a subpar record, but they were talented last week. And Loudoun is very, very well coached. Coach Herrig does a great job up there. And next week versus Sweetwater, that's like another bump in the road to a potential rematch in the semifinals with Alcoa. But, yeah, 3A football's kind of slept on. You know, you kind of get that vibe from single A and double A where a lot of kids play both ways. Giles County's fortunate in some regards like that. They don't have to rely on those two-way players as much. But it's been fun. It's been really refreshing. And there are some really good teams, like you discussed, lurking at the 3A level outside of, you know, Alcoa and your traditional powers like East Nashville.
Talking to our man Wade Neely, the voice of this Giles County Bobcats team, seen them all season long. And you tweeted tonight, Wade, that they were without two of their elite playmakers. So who exactly were the Bobcats without tonight, and how did that kind of shape the way the game was played?
Yeah, so Giles County, their standout running back, X Randolph, he went down second game to last in the regular season. They've been slowly trying to bring him along. He might could have gave it a go tonight, but what that has done, and they were also without maybe their best just pure athlete, a kid by the name of Tyreek Brown, who has just got explosive speed. He plays cornerback, but he plays a little receiver. He plays return, you know, all that stuff. But as far as what X Randolph brings to the table, I mean, this was a kid that was going to go for over 1,200 yards rushing pretty easy before the injury, and they've been without him. But what that has done, though, is Giles County was fortunate. They have a pretty good backup quarterback named Reed Owens, who's a senior, and they have plugged him in, and by tapping him at quarterback, they have now moved their previous quarterback, a kid by the name of Kamari Turner. They've moved Turner into kind of just an elite playmaker position. He runs the ball out of the backfield, he catches it out of the backfield, and he catches it at the wide receiver position. And he has really flourished these last couple of weeks. He's had he scored a couple of touchdowns tonight, and he's now got 12 touchdowns in his last three games. He had two games, had five last week versus Brainerd, had five to close the regular season versus Cannon County, And he's also playing both ways. He had another interception tonight. So this kid has got 12 touchdowns and 3 interceptions over the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
And,
that's
pretty
impressive.
And the crazy part is, the crazy part is Randolph was close to a 1,000-yard rusher last year as a sophomore. He's an explosive junior, and they hope to get him back for that Sweetwater game next week. That could be a huge boost to their offense because Owens has now gotten a lot of confidence at the quarterback position, so they could be looking at a two-headed monster-type situation with those two, Randolph and Turner, in the backfield.
Wow. Incredible. And they're going to need everything they have, because Sweetwater at 10-2 is going to present a good challenge after the first two games of the playoffs. I know Giles County's outscored their opponents, if my math is correct, rarely is, by a score of 67-8. I don't think they're going to have as easy of a time against Sweetwater. That one should be a fantastic game.
Oh, no doubt. And that will be a rematch of Giles in the first round last year. Sweetwater is in that Region 3, which kind of just really beat itself up a lot this year, except for Sweetwater. They ran the table in the region. They were the region champ. So next week will be region champ versus region champ. Sweetwater probably remembers that game from the first round last year, and they have a really good rushing game. They have a real kind of throwback, kind of a Joe Dubin-style running back in the backfield. He's just gonna lower his head and just try and get 3-4 yards at a time. And Giles County's defense, luckily, is playing well right now, but they will definitely have a tall order next week versus Sweetwater.
Here's a few things about Sweetwater, Wade, for your broadcast next week. Kippy Brown, former Tennessee coach, is alumni of that school as well. And also, they won the state championships in football in 1971 and 72.
All right. Well, Big Joe, you stole some of my thunder, because I was going to close my comments with, Kippy Brown, he's a Super Bowl champ and a proud University of Memphis standout back in the day. So that's about my knowledge of Sweetwater. But yet again, you continue to expand my horizons, brother.
I know, because I went to junior college up there many, 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 many years ago. So I know Sweetwater well. They've got a great place you can go down and you can feed the ducks downtown. Just, you could use that too on your show if you like, but you don't have to. Hey, let me ask you this. So Giles County, so moving on, the game's at Giles County next week?
Yes, sir.
So what was the tonight? What was the atmosphere like tonight at Giles County?
You know, tonight was one of those nights. They've got pretty good crowd support all season long, but tonight was one of those few nights for the first time that all season long you kind of started getting some texts from people that aren't really invested in Giles County football but are still in, you know, the community, and they were like, hey, is Giles County playing at home tonight? How much does it cost to get in? Who are they playing? And we're like, they're playing. They're in the second round of the playoffs. And so I feel like the crowd was pretty electric tonight. There were a couple really big individual plays that brought the crowd to their feet. And I think, you know, as well as everybody else, you know, the deeper these things go, everybody kind of just buys in more and more, especially in the small town, you know. And so the crowd and was rallying around the Bobcats tonight. They've had great support all year, but tonight you're kind of starting to get the casual fans kind of coming out of the woodwork, which is always fun too.
We love that. Wade Neely, thanks for the update, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys soon. Bye-bye.
All right, that's Wade Neely, the voice of Giles County Bobcats. All right, we've done with the fifth hour. We got one more hour of high school football for you. We got some more coaches on here, and we'll kind of get you set up for next week, because we got some amazing games in the quarterfinals next week. The scoreboard update's coming up next. Elijah Campbell's got that for you. You listen to the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3 of the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.